Something I've talked about from time to time through the years, but one that I don't want you to forget, and that there are these fads that keep cycling back around. And this is a biblical study on faith and repentance. I have noticed that in recent years, some fundamental Baptists have argued that preaching salvation by faith is not enough. Now, that's a scary thought. Salvation by faith is not enough. What they're saying is you must preach repentance from sin as well. That means if you just tell people to believe, you're not telling them that they have to set aside their sin. The tract that we use, Dr. Ford Porter's tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, has been attacked as easy believism because it does not dwell on repentance. I am afraid that those holding such views are being influenced by and actually are preaching lordship salvation. Let me take a moment to talk about lordship salvation. Lordship salvation is presented as Christianity being tough, saying you can't just live any way you want, you have to turn away, and or Christ doesn't even accept you. The problem there is what they're actually saying, though I don't think they would want to admit it, is that a person must achieve a certain level of goodness before he is accepted for salvation. You catch that? So unless you're turning from sin, unless you're doing that, you don't get to be saved. This is putting works into it. And lordship salvation does that. Under the guise of being tough and being strong and showing that Christianity is not just play acting, they've actually changed the gospel. One of the big forces in this has been, what's his name on the West Coast?
MacArthur.
John MacArthur. And I've read where he says, no, I don't believe that, don't preach that. And I think in his heart he believes that. Then I've actually gone into and looked at some of his sermons where he very much does do that. The step before you get saved is you being troubled by and determining to leave your sin. This is trying to get better before God will accept you. So we need to reject this. It was the study on lordship salvation that I did, where I believe it was Mr. Ketchum who came up with the best way to explain it. He said there are two things that we're talking about here. One is actual salvation, the experience of salvation. The other is discipleship. All of the verses that the lordship salvation people quote are really dealing with discipleship, the following of Christ. And he made this statement: salvation is free. Discipleship is costly. Isn't that good? And what that means is, to actually set aside self, to actually follow Christ, you have to make some tough decisions. But to get saved, call it easy believism, it's free, and all you have to do is say yes. I guess that's about as easy as it gets. So the Bible preaches an easy believism to receive Christ, and then some tough going as you mold yourself to the image of Christ. Now, this is not to say that repentance is not important. Notice with me Christ's words in Luke 13:3. He says, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance, again, is more than what these people, the Lordship Salvation people, are making it to be. Repentance, the Greek word, speaks of an entire change of your mind, not just change of thought, but the change of the way you think. There's a joke that magicians do, I've heard several times, and they said, oh, that's your choice? Would you like to change your mind? And they say, no. And he says, oh, you're happy with the mind you have. Well, that's really what repentance is, to change the mind you have. And what Christ is saying, you Jews, have your mind set on a certain thing, a certain way, a certain view of the Messiah, but unless you change your very mind, then you don't get saved. This is not about straightening up your life. The Pharisees that he was talking to were, I would say, generally far more holy than the average person, because they were focused on that. Now, they cheated and all that, but here he says repentance is important, so much so that unless you repent, you will perish. So, my question is this then. With this interpretation that you've got to be tough on sin before you get people saved, if the preaching of repentance is vital to salvation, I find it strange that key passages of Scripture do not include it. Wouldn't it have to be everywhere? Anytime anybody ever said how to get saved, they would have to say, repent and believe. Remember when the Philippian jailer asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He was given a simple answer. Acts 16:31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Nothing about repentance. Just believe. That's all he's told. So how do we reconcile these verses? They say, believe. Christ said, you have to repent. And here is the fruit of my study. And I found that most of the theologians that I read were agreed on this. So let me share with you, let me take you into my research books. Henry C. Thiessen, in his Lectures in Systematic Theology, says this, furthermore, true repentance never exists apart from faith. That is, one cannot turn from sin without at the same time turning to God. Conversely, we may say that true faith never exists without repentance. The two are inseparably bound together. Now, we'll get a little clearer on this, but that's his statement. Then, sort of the other side of the theological spectrum, Louis Burkhoff, in his Systematic Theology, says, moreover, true repentance never exists except in conjunction with faith, while on the other hand, wherever there is true faith, there is also real repentance. The two are but different aspects of the same turning, a turning away from sin in the direction of God. It should be borne in mind, however, that the two cannot be separated. They are simply complementary parts of the same process. William Evans, in his The Great Doctrines of the Bible, shows how both repentance and faith involve the mind, the will, and the emotions of man, how we describe the soul. Repentance, he deals with pages 140, 141. Then the next section, faith, he deals with 145, 146. And he lists them with a little different titles, but the same thing, the mind, the will, and the emotion. So God demands both of man, but God bestows both as a gift. That is, man doesn't just work this up. Because of the work that God does in bringing light to people, they are at the point where they say yes to God. At the point of saying yes to God, they receive true godly faith and that desire of changing who they are. So, the picture is this, and I think it was Burkhoff who mentioned this, two different aspects of the same turning. If we imagine that this is us before our salvation, and we're facing sin and the world, but we've turned our back on God, the action of salvation is this, where at the same time we turn to God, we begin to turn our back on the things of the world. One action. How would you separate those two, you see? It's one turning, and you can't separate them. So, here's the problem. You have a different kind of faith other than what saving faith is in the Bible if you try to do that without repentance. Faith without repentance is mere intellectual or emotional acceptance that simply adds God to a shelf of idols. You say, I believe, but I'm still living according to the flesh, you see. So it invites the question, why doesn't your belief change your behavior? So the belief is what changes us. We think differently, we act differently, completely differently from what we did before. Then again, and we see this, James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and here he says he has faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? Could that faith, it's a definite article in there, could that faith save him? The faith that doesn't have works? No, that's just a statement of belief. James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone or by itself. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit, or breath, is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You could have the person who has just died breathe out their last breath, given up their spirit. And the person says, they look alive to me. But without the spirit, without the breath, they're actually dead. The person that says he has faith, but it doesn't affect his life, looks like a Christian, but isn't. Then on the other side, repentance without faith, so-called repentance, without faith, is mere reformation, like weak New Year's resolutions. I will be different. I will be different. So it invites the question, why are you changing? What are you looking to change, you see? I'm bettering myself. I'm going to be a better man. I'm defining myself. You know, all these things that could be the reason for your change. Well, that's not saving repentance. Repentance is changing your mind about Christ, you see. Paul explained that sorrow over sin is in itself not repentance. This idea of this repentance that they're talking about is you just grieving over your sin. They read the old stories of people that went for weeks, months, groaning, afraid of going to hell. They were weeping. They felt condemned of God. And in that turmoil, they finally broke through and believed and sensed their salvation. That's not repentance. It is sorrow, but it's not repentance. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. Paul says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. That the sorrow had a goal. The sorrow led you to change the way you think, change your very mind. He said, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. After a godly manner could be translated according to God, you see. You were made sorry according to God. Not just because you got caught, not just because the conscience came about and you felt really guilty about all these things you were doing. Not just that, but that God was calling you to himself. You see, it was according to God. And so it made you sorry. He goes on to say that you might receive damage by us in nothing. He says, we don't want to preach just to make you feel bad. But that when you do feel bad and it leads to repentance, then we're happy. And he goes on in verse 10, for godly sorrow, rather than just sorrow, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. It doesn't lead you into a decision that you're going to regret later. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. You see, the idea here is just wallowing in your grief is not necessarily progressive. It's not necessarily taking you to God. It's just taking you down in this whirlpool of woe is me. That's not real repentance. Repentance is changing to see God as he says it, to see salvation as he says it, to see sin as he says it. So my conclusion is this. Bible preaching does not worry about including all the words men want included. That's not our focus. Well, how would you want me to say it? We're not going to ask that question. Bible preaching on faith preaches a faith that repents. That's the kind of faith it is. It changes the way you act. Bible preaching on repentance preaches a repentance that trusts in Christ. It is a repentance that turns to Christ. It's faith. Just like the many examples in Scripture, we may urge people to repent, as Christ did, or to believe, as the missionaries did to the Philippian jailer, as long as they understand that both are involved in salvation. If they have been taught by someone that these are two different things, you'll have to go into that. You'll have to explain to them that it's faith and repentance. But if they understand that I'm changing the way I believe and that will cause me to change my actions, I'm changing my mind about God, repentance, and that will lead me to believe in him, faith, then they've got it. You don't have to go into it. Either one may be preached, recognizing that the one that either one implies the other. Well, see, again, think about repentance. The Gentiles had a way of thinking. They had an interpretation of life. They had a worldview. And God had granted them the ability to change their mind about that whole thing and see the need of and the desire for Christ as Savior. So we want to hold on to this because, like a sect, they come into a church and start saying, well, you know, don't be weak, lily-livered about this thing, but don't be that, you know, hold firm. Christ says, and the guy out in California again, I can't remember his name. MacArthur. MacArthur was talking about the best example of Christ giving the gospel. Now, if I were to ask you that, I don't know where your mind would go. Maybe the woman at the well, all these things. But here's where he went to. The man who said, but I've been keeping the law. And he says, then sell everything and give to the poor. And the man went away sorrowing because he had great riches. He says, there's the essence of the gospel. Resulting in the guy just walking away? Really? You know? But what is it? This is Christ being tough, see? You didn't pass the test, hit the road. And of course, that's not what he was saying about salvation anyway. He was talking about obedience to the law. You say you're obedient to the law, but your heart isn't there yet. All right. We'll start. Stop kicking around MacArthur, who doesn't even care that we exist. So God is angry too. Okay.